Welcome, everybody, to the last day of June. Can you believe it? 2025. This is Andrew Sletton sitting in for Steve on this beautiful Monday afternoon and going to be with you for the next couple of days. Steve does have the week off, and so we wish him well with family and friends over the holiday week here. But looking forward to the conversations of the next couple of days and have a couple of topics I definitely want to dive into. But we're going to start it off here in the 4 o'clock hour with a guest that needs no introduction, Mr. Scott Hennen. Scott.
Hi, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. Good to see you.
Good.
You know, Scott had just written an article last week in the forum, and I wanted to have a little conversation about that, Scott, and wanted to tackle this topic today a little bit, and it's a little bit of the elephant in the room, not only nationwide, but around the state of North Dakota. And that is really the division and kind of the fracturing in the Republican Party. And North Dakota is not immune to this, and we're living right in the middle of it. And I have some personal maybe experience in this over the last 5-6 years. So just getting into the party, I saw you last year at the state convention, had a little conversation with Steve on the radio, just being there as a delegate to support the process. And I've been there over the last, you know, I'd say 2, 3, 4 conventions. And so I've gotten more involved personally, but it's interesting to I guess, see what is happening. And I'd love to hear a little bit of your perspective on this. Just a couple of minutes ago, Elon Musk tweeted, he tweeted this about the big, beautiful bill that's happening. And he says, it's obvious with the insane spending of this bill, which increases the debt ceiling by a record $5 trillion, that we live in a one-party country. And he says, the Porky Pig Party. It kind of sounds like a Trumpism in some ways, like he's trying to be Donald Trump here. But then he says at the end of the tweet, he says, time for a new political party that actually cares about the people. And I ask you this, Scott, do you think we're ready for a another political party?
Well, I don't. And again, Elon Musk is an interesting character, but I don't think he's much of a political animal, right?
Yeah.
He's a genius when it comes to business, and I think because he saw the country going in the wrong direction, he sort of immersed himself late in the campaign and said, we got to get Donald Trump elected to preserve free speech, and was worried, obviously, about the fiscal cliff coming. And I don't know where he's getting his information, but a lot of that is at odds with what is actually in the bill. I mean, this isn't your typical kind of Porky, you know, everybody get what they want kind of thing. Not that that doesn't happen and might happen with the future legislation, but this is really about getting what Donald Trump campaigned on and what, you know, Elon Musk was a part of happening and helping. And so it's odd to me that he has gone down this weird path where he's for Trump, against Trump, back for Trump. But now I don't know. I think it's someone that's a little naive in the political world.
I think a little bit of and the reason why I ask is I feel some of the divide in the party is a little bit of the purist versus the pragmatist argument. So a couple of sessions ago, or a couple of conventions ago, Republican convention, there was this debate kind of happening and people were, you know, making their speeches for who should be nominated. I think it was for the Senate, the Senate seat. And one of the individuals made the comment, they said, speaking of kind of the purist mentality, they said, rightness doesn't matter if you're not relevant, speaking to the electability of the candidates, right? And so I think this is where I feel, and some of your articles spoke to this maybe a little bit, there's a battle between somewhat of the purists in a party versus the pragmatists, and there's a lot of debate around that. What do you see with those two? Like, are they competing elements within the party? Is where are we at? Like, going forward, what's going to be the solution to it?
Well, first of all, to this fracture, I think the only fracture is among a very small group of people that are, you know, different, have different responsibilities within the party apparatus in North Dakota, okay, that believe, you know, and again, I think the election for a new chair was literally within one or two votes.
Right.
So I think that's where the fracture is. What I was trying to get at the point is, if that group of people, you know, district chair and state party sort of officials want to be relevant, they ought to actually look at what the voters are voting for and then the elected leaders that they voted for and what they're getting done. That's where I think the disconnect is. And I think partly the way that comes back to your purity test, if you will, of the party, is some people that are trying to influence the Republican Party are not Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
They're libertarians.
Mm-hmm.
God bless them. I have no issue with a libertarian, but there's where you get into a third party, and they've been a third party for a long time. Go over there, influence that way of thinking. See how many people you can get in your camp. Run them for office. Go for it. But I think there's no fracture with Republican Party voters. They are voting for the people that we have as state party leaders right now, elected leaders, both in Congress and in the statewide offices, by overwhelming margins.
Mm-hmm.
So, my message is to the state party people, like, do you want to actually listen to the voters? Are you telling the voters they're stupid because they've overwhelmingly elected these people? It's like they're totally disconnected from the voting public.
Mm-hmm.
And, in the case of Kelly Armstrong, you had state party officials censure Kelly Armstrong. Like, you can disagree with him, but when you go to the level of censuring him, you're so in the fringe.
And
you're being completely, and again, he won by 42 points.
Yeah.
And the legislation he championed was overwhelmingly popular with the legislature and in demand. The whole session was property tax reform. We need it. Again, you could always argue, well, I'd like a little more of this. Get in the arena. Do it. Censoring is like cowardly, in my view.
Yeah, censoring, I've always held the view it's fruitless. Like, what good is going to come from it? Although I get a little bit of it. So here's my question for you. And what I have seen is, so I remember sitting in the audience during the governor debate with Wayne Stengem, Doug Burgum, and Rick Becker. And I was young, and my wife and I were there just kind of taking it in. But it was fascinating because I, from western side of the state, had never really heard of Doug Burgum. You know, obviously here in Fargo, he was a household name, but out there, we really didn't know who he was. And, as we saw that election cycle play out, at the state convention, he came in a pretty distant third. Well, so this is where to get on the ballot, I feel, in North Dakota is it's really, there's a disruption here that has caused a lot of angst within the party and outside of the party, because you look at, I saw a picture the other day of Governor Burgum sitting in, the cabinet room with President Trump, and I was just blown away. I was taken back to that governor debate where we were watching him, and, honestly, he didn't perform that well. It was mind-blowing that, okay, then he came into the primary, and all of a sudden, he's getting traction, and now he's sitting literally in the cabinet room with President Trump.
Yeah, that'd be a good example, and I think most people who call themselves MAGA Republicans turn up their nose still to this day at Doug Burgum,
mm-hmm.
who was, again, overwhelmingly elected. And there aren't enough Democrats to make a difference. Some of this group likes to say, well, that's because Democrats vote for him or whatever. Yeah, I don't buy that. There's not enough of them to make a difference. This is Republican voters. And there's a prime example. I'd say the same thing about Kevin Cramer. Donald Trump has called him one of the most effective senators. I mean, literally picks up the phone every time he calls. John Hovind was endorsed by Donald Trump. Julie Fedorchik was.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think it speaks to the nature of the way that we get people elected. So we have to get to a quick break here. But on the other side of the break, let's talk a little bit about that. I'd love to hear your thought on, is the system broken with the party the way that it is versus the primary process?
Yeah, looking forward to that conversation, because I do think there's... that's where I come at it, relevance.
Yeah.
Because if the party wants to sit there and say, we're gonna appoint the purest that we like that can't get elected, then they're not relevant, because the Republican endorsement won't mean anything. The convention effort will fall apart and be an echo chamber, and people will just win at the primary that ultimately are going to win in November.
Absolutely. More with Scott Hennin on the other side of the break. Welcome back to the Steve Hallstrom Show. It is 4:20. This is Andrew Sletten sitting in for Steve on this beautiful Monday afternoon. And would love for you to join in on the conversation. You can give us a call here at the studio at 701-271-1100, or you can text in your comments at 701-237-1590. I really want to talk about it today. Talk about the division, so to speak, the fracture within the Republican Party in particular. That's most affecting us here in the state of North Dakota, and would love to hear your thoughts and opinions on, is there an issue within the party, and how can we correct it? Later on in the show, I'm going to share a little bit of my personal experience about what I've kind of seen over the last few years in the state party. And I was thankful to have Scott Hennen in the studio. Before we get back to Scott and that conversation, we do have on the line Cindy from Travel Travel, and she is here to tell us about a smoking deal they have coming up in September. Cindy, welcome to the Steve Hallstrom Show.
Hi, happy Monday to you.
You as well. Yeah, tell the listeners a little bit about San Diego.
All right, we've got a great deal for you going right out of Fargo. Airfare and four nights lodging in San Diego. Great price of $862 per person based on double occupancy.
Wonderful. And what is, I'm looking here to see the dates again. Can you remind everyone of the dates leaving from Fargo
right.
to San Diego?
Right. It's departing on September 13th. And coming home on the 17th.
Wonderful. And if somebody has not been to the San Diego Zoo, I have not been there personally, but I have heard that it is the best in the country. And so I am sure that people will want to hop on that. So how can people reach you, Cindy, to take advantage of this deal?
Give us the call at 701-492-5000.
Wonderful. That's Cindy from Travel Travel. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks. Have a great week.
You as well. You as well. We have, as I mentioned earlier, we have Scott Hennen in the studio. Before the break, we're just talking a little bit about his article that was in the forum last weekend, and speaking a little bit to the relevancy of the state party. And so we left off, Scott, just, you know, with really the question of, is the system broken about the way that somebody can get put maybe on the primary ballot versus the, you know, the two ways right now is somebody obviously can go through their local political district, which I personally have been involved in. And I do find it very valuable. But the other way is you can go out and collect signatures and you can get placed on the primary ballot. And so there's two different paths, so to speak. And so the issue is that if one person or individual kind of bypasses the party and they go and collect signatures and they win, now they're placed kind of, you know, in the party and having to kind of work together. And I think that's where some of the tension has come from, at least from my experience. Is one way better than, should we keep it the way that it is? Is it working? Has it worked? Because that's some of the argument back and forth is like, well, it used to work, but it doesn't work anymore. Well, it seems to me that some of the people saying it used to work are the ones no longer, you know, getting elected in the local party. And but at the same time, there's value in letting more than one, you know, 10 people maybe in a room make that selection for a district. So what's your thoughts? Is the system broken?
Well, I personally think, you know, when it comes to deciding who ought to be elected in Congress or governor or statewide office holders, the question before as many people as possible is better, right? And what has long been held is, you know, control of the party to say, let's let the people who've been the most active, the most involved, decide. And, I don't know what establishment Republican means anymore. I always say if it means that I vote for winners, I guess I'm okay with it because, you know, we continue to elect by big numbers people who go and, as we said earlier, get President Trump's support and go help enact his agenda. So is that establishment? I don't know. I don't consider Donald Trump establishment. But the establishment, if you will, you know, sort of took for granted, I guess, and it's maybe a product of just so much dominance by the Republican
right.
Party. That it becomes kind of a foregone conclusion and, you know, why do I really need to get involved? Because our guys always win.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think the idea of having more people involved is better. Now what's happened is I think the, again, quote unquote establishment folks, that long led the party process have sort of fallen off. And then some people, I would argue, some of them libertarians come in and say, well, we can influence the Republican Party now. And so you've got, you know, a group of people who really are beholden to a different party trying to change the Republican Party. And that's where the relevance question comes in, because if there's the disconnect with the overwhelming amount of voters and the people that Trump supports that represent us, then you're going to be less viable. So I think the answer to that is more people involved in the party process. So it better reflects the actual voters or the primaries where the most amount of people actually are going to have a say over who ought to be elected. So, but right now, I'd say there's not enough people involved in the party process for it to be anything other than sort of a tug of war between libertarians and actual Republicans that are right now fighting for their relevance in my mind. And if that's going to continue to be the case, then they're going to be a noisy minority, and primaries will be the way to go. But that's up to you know, whether or not the party and a handful of district chairs want it to be relevant or not.
Perry from Hope, North Dakota, has called in, wants to join in the conversation. Perry, thank you for calling into the Steve Hallstrom Show. What's your thoughts?
Well, I wanted to speak to what I've seen in the past few Republican conventions and in the local districts. We've all read about how certain people, more people in the western part of the state, have more of the disruptive, I guess one might call it, behavior. And we've witnessed that getting all to the state conventions through the last several cycles. The way they do things, the first thing they want to do at the convention is address the bylaws and change the bylaws. Then they want to do something else, and they want to do something else, instead of getting down to the immediate business at hand, which is nominating our candidates.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for calling in, Perry.
He makes a good point, because, you know, they get into the weeds with process and try to change the rules so they can win. And, you know, I mean, I'm with him. Let's debate the merits of the candidate. You know, the last convention, there was this big process debate, and Julie Fedorchuk said, fine, you know, I'll opt out here. And, you know, part of me says, my gosh, given the election success of Republicans, how are there not more Republicans involved so that faction can't actually, in that case, shut down an endorsement? Now, as you saw, it made no difference. Julie Fedorchuk was overwhelmingly elected. So it was a lot of noise that, in my mind, made the Republican Party look silly and for naught.
You know? Well, I think involvement is the issue. So, you know, at the last legislative session, there was two bills. There were two bills that had come. One was from, you know, what we would say the more the establishment. One was maybe more from a grassroots approach. And the bills were trying to tackle the issue of being placed on the ballot. So, you know, one of the bills said that they would completely eliminate the nomination in Century Code from the local Republican district or any district. And if a candidate would want to be placed on the ballot, they would have to go out and collect signatures. And so they were basically bypassing the process, mainly from what Perry spoke to of the disruptiveness and all of the maybe nastiness that goes along with that. And so I totally get the disruptiveness, but then the other bill was to do the opposite, was to say that if you did not get the nomination from your local district, you could not be placed on the ballot as a Republican. You could run as an independent, but you could not put an R behind your name if you didn't win in the local district. And so this is the divide I see, is there was strong debate around both of those bills, and I watched it. And some of the things that were said were really, really enlightening to me, because, again, I feel the system is so it's broken in that we need to maybe pick a path, because what we're doing right now is not working. And so one of the comments was, well, we can't let 10 people in a room at a district nominating convention speak for the 15,000 in the district. So that, you know, makes sense. But the issue was, is that has been the case for a long time. And, you know, when it was 10 people in the room that was electing a certain individual, they were okay with it. But now that they're not electing certain individuals, they're not okay with it.
You're welcome to politics.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly it. So I think, you know, to wrap up the conversation, Scott, to me, I have been one that I think has been calling for involvement. I think involvement is the answer all the way around. And I know that's what you've been pushing for. And you just being at the state convention and, you know, going up to it is a testament to that. You're on that same page.
Yeah. And again, I think it requires a lot of people.
Yeah.
And at a time when people are busy, you know, earning a living, caring for their families, building businesses and whatnot. But it's important. It's really important, because pretty soon you wake up and you don't recognize, you know, your state.
Yeah.
You don't. And you say, well, what the heck happened here? So it does. I mean, you're exactly right. That's the answer to fixing this sort of craziness, is just getting more people involved. I would argue that represent more of the actual voters out there that are electing people who are you know, ultimately serving the will of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the relevance question comes in. You know, get involved in that. Right now it's a small group of people, and some of those folks are, I would argue, out of step with the voters. So more of those voters are going to have to sacrifice and get involved to make sure that the party itself better reflects the overall electorate.
And to John Hoeven's credit, at the last convention, he did that. He got people to the convention.
He did.
To get nominated, and I give him major props for that, because he could have just walked away and said, you know what, I'm just going to the primary. But he dug in and said, no, we're going to get people involved in the process one way or the other. And so kudos to him for making that happen.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, again, that's where this last convention, that all that disruption and rules and arguing back and forth would have been, you know, very short amount of drama if there had been more people there. But again, that's sort of the complacency of,
absolutely,
you know, hey, if they win, I vote for them, that's enough. I don't need to get involved, but you really do.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Scott Hennen, we could talk more about this. Obviously, maybe we will in the future. But thank you for popping in and sharing your thoughts.
Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Absolutely. This is Andrew Sletten filling in for Steve Hallstrom here on this Monday afternoon. We will be back after a news and weather's break. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Steve Hallstrom Show. Andrew Sletten sitting in for Steve. It is 4:36. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And I want you to join in on the show with us. 701-271-1100 is the phone number. And it's easy to connect with us over text, 701-237-1590. And I want you to share your thoughts with us. We are going to be talking about a few different things in the 5 o'clock hour. But here in the 4 o'clock hour, we just had Scott Hennen in studio speaking to the reality of where we are in the state of North Dakota, kind of as a microcosm of the entire nation, where there is seemingly a divide among the parties. And Republican Party here in North Dakota is no exception, and I want to share a little bit of more about my thoughts on that here in a few minutes. But first, let's talk about some life insurance. And, you know, people move around companies, life insurance companies, different policies, different types of benefit structures regarding life insurance. But there's obviously long-term policies that's locked in for 10, 20, 30-year term policies. And, you know, as someone who has experienced this myself with knowing some good family friends that have passed away at, unfortunately, an earlier age than they should have. Life insurance came through for their family in a time when they definitely needed it. And so we are inviting you to contact DJ Coulter American Family Agency. You can visit them at 4215 31st Avenue South here in South Fargo, or you can call them at 701-235-6641. They are the life insurance experts. Again, that's DJ Coulter American Family Insurance at 701-235-6641. I'm actually having DJ on the show tomorrow. We're going to talk a little bit about some storm coverage. Obviously, with all that has been happening over the last couple of weeks, we are going to discuss and maybe answer any questions from listeners on what should be and what we should expect come claims and insurance and coverages during this crazy weather pattern we've had. Addison, I don't know if you can ever remember. I can never remember seeing a weather pattern as crazy as we have seen in the last couple of weeks.
No, it has been, you know, they're gonna have to rename us Tornado Isle too.
Yeah, that's right.
If things continue the way they are.
Unfortunately, it's been the case. And so, yeah, give DJ a call, 701-235-6641 with your life insurance and any other insurance needs. And we've been talking about the North Dakota Republican Party. So I'm going to share a little bit of my experience with you. I want you, of course, to share yours as well. Give us a call and let us know what your experience has been. And inside of the party, I would say the last 4 or 5 years, been active in my local district. And, you know, I really felt compelled to be involved because I did see this need for activity in the local district, in turn to just have conversations with our elected leaders, but really be involved in who is put on the ballot here locally for my district. And so over in Bismarck, when we lived there, and here in Fargo, we started and have been involved. And this is what I have seen, is I have seen that this so-called fracture is just really politics, maybe sometimes at its worst. But, you know, in the reality of the state that of North Dakota is, we are dealing with one party that's been very irrelevant, and that, of course, is the Democratic Party. And so the Republican Party is we are in this crisis of trying to decide, for one, how we're going to put people on the ballot, and then when we do, how in turn we should be able to keep the Republican brand in some ways in the thing that has got us to this point as being a just juggernaut in the state of North Dakota. How can we keep the party what we want it to be, while at the same time getting more people involved and, you know, trying to be more pragmatic, so to speak, in the electorate? And I want you to join in. Bruce from Grand Forks has wanted to maybe share his opinion and thoughts on this conversation. Bruce, thank you so much for calling in. What's your thoughts?
Thanks, Andrew. Say, now, Dennis, survey, okay, there's less than 4% of the people know how their district legislatures voted.
Right.
And so it's like Scott talked about, we don't want to call them stupid, but they are ignorant. And that's one of our major problems. And the politicians, the Republicans, some of them will call them rhinos. I don't even bother calling them rhinos. If you look at their voting record, some of these guys are voting like liberal Democrats. And we don't know about it because we don't study them. We don't have any idea what's coming on. And that's why we got so many of these people. If you want to call them rhinos, fine, but I'll call them crony capitalists. And they're winning the elections in North Dakota. There isn't a fracture in the Republican Party. There's, complacency. Well, and not even complacency. I don't know what the right word is, but we're in a lot of trouble with the people we've been voting in. And I mean, not knowing what the heck's happening and thinking the Republicans are the answer is definitely going to kick our ass in the long run.
Bruce, I appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts. This is exactly what I was hoping to have in this conversation, is everyone's views and thoughts. And, you know, when it comes to structural change, I think there's a couple of things that I really have seen is this structural change is needed to, for one, get the people more involved in the process. Bruce, you're spot on, I believe, when it comes to just lazy voters. And, you know, most of us, that's unfortunately been a lot of our history, is we've become lazy in knowing who we are voting for. And so this is what has tended to happen, is if you have an R behind your name in North Dakota, the chances of getting elected are much, much better. But what it has done is it's made the voting public lazy, because we just assume that everyone that has an R behind their name is actually a Republican. And so to Scott's point from earlier, I would say, well, if they're a libertarian but they're running as a Republican, that's one thing. But if they're a Democrat running as a Republican, that's another thing. So we could say on both sides of the fracture, there is a structural issue, because they're both being able to be put on the ballot. And so I think, number one, involvement, as we talked about, is one of the answers or solutions to getting a good candidate that is in touch with the populace, that is adhering to the Republican platform, yes, but also involved in the conversation and the change around the Republican platform. And because this is what I have seen, is that big money has taken over our elections. And the conversations that should be happening in the local Republican district, like at a reorg meeting, are not happening, but instead they're happening at a ballot box, meaning at the primary election, people will go and they will vote for somebody that has an R behind their name, but they don't know who they are. They, again, are low information, and they just assume that they are holding to the values of the Republican Party, when sometimes they're not. And so I think structurally we have big issues that we have to address. And Charlie also wants to join in on the conversation. Charlie, thank you for calling in to the Steve Hallstrom Show. Charlie, what's your thoughts on this conversation and topic?
Well, I think that one of the big problems is for people to what a Republican is. And I think that's been watered down so much in North Dakota and blurred. So I think that Republican Party in North Dakota needs to do sort of a contract with North Dakota and outline like 10 principles that they will stand by. And, you know, and that they should be constitutionally based, you know. And the ideas of individual responsibility and liberty. And I think there's probably 30% of the Republicans in North Dakota are actually D's. They're Democrats, and they know they can't win in North Dakota with a D behind their name, so they jump over, especially in the Fargo area. It's a sad state, and it's hard to identify. It's hard to get them to speak out what they believe, you know, and that's my frustration. Is I'm a pretty involved guy. I listen and I read and I join certain groups, and to hold these politicians accountable against the masses that just sort of take their word is getting hard.
Charlie, I really appreciate your thoughts, and we got to get to a break. On the other side of the break, I'm going to address a couple of things that you said, because I resonate a little bit with what you mentioned in your experience, and I'm going to share a little bit more about my experience on the other side of the break, exactly to what you said, Charlie. So thank you for calling in. Invite everyone else. Join in. Conversation, 701-271-1100. Share your experience with getting involved. Was it fruitful? Was it not? Also, send us some text, 701-237-1590. Would love your thoughts in the text line as well. This is Andrew Sletten sitting in for Steve on this Monday afternoon. It is 4:50 on the last day of June here on this Monday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. This is Andrew Sletten. Always appreciate the opportunity to sit behind the microphone and share my thoughts and views. You know, one thing that I wanted to share today is my experience with the Republican Party, where I have, again, personally been involved in these conventions, you know, district conventions, state conventions, and I've seen a lot of things that has kind of made me, you know, I don't want to say disenfranchised with the process, but I feel like this is what you're always going to get in the political world. You know, politics really is just this. It's the discussion of ideas in the local, you know, marketplace. It's the discussion of ideas to try among people to try to come up with the best solution for the state, and whoever you know, sells the better story sometimes will win out. Well, there's also a grounding that we all have, a moral grounding and background and worldview that comes into play when it comes to the political world. And that was kind of my reason for joining and getting involved a little bit more in the process, is I've been able to meet and have a lot of conversation with people that share these values, and it's just brought me closer to a lot of people, and hopefully as a whole, we can do much more than we're able to do individually. And that's what we see, of course, in the political world. Now, to Charlie's point, the caller from before the break, and if you'd like to join in the conversation, call in 701-271-1100, and you can also text 701-237-1590. To Charlie's point, you know, we look at the issue, so to speak, of is somebody a Republican or are they not a Republican? And, you know, the term rhino has been thrown around a lot, and it's, you know, kind of becoming a word that nobody really knows what it means anymore. But the reality is this, is that the way that our system is structured is we do not have the ability. To Charlie's point, I agree with maybe coming up with a list of 10 principles that we say we stand for the Republican Party and blasting that out there. But the Republican Party does have a platform that we can go and read. I don't know if that's necessarily the issue. I think the issue to me is that anybody can call themselves a Republican and get put on the ballot. And so I guess this is what the state of North Dakota has to decide. Do we want to decide? Do we want and will decide that if anybody who wants to call themselves a Republican can call themselves a Republican? That pretty much happens in the primary process. So just for, you know, debate's sake, this is what happens. Somebody's put on the ballot, like a Doug Burgum, on the primary because he has the money to be able to be put on the ballot. And love him or hate him, the reality is Doug Burgum went against, at that time, the political establishment and won. And some would argue because he had the money to do it. Well, I mean, he put his name in the hat and followed the systems that are in place. And so he ran as a Republican and he won as a Republican. And it really disrupted the establishment at the time. And we've seen that with Kevin Cramer. We've seen that with others where they have, you know, not won at the convention, but they have then in turn went and won in the primary. Okay. So this is what happens then. So now Doug Burgum is sitting on the state committee that he just ran against essentially in the primary. And so if you want to break it down further into the local districts, now if there's an individual that runs outside of the district, they, if they win in the primary, then they are now sitting on the district, according to the bylaws of most districts, they are now sitting on the district committee, executive committee. And so now you have this kind of, okay, they didn't go through the party, but they're still a part of the party. And so the question when it comes to censoring, and I get somewhat of the censoring desire, is like, well, this is the only recourse we have because we have no way to say or to hold people to a party platform, because these you know, Republican parties, Democrat parties, they are independent. They are not government institutions. We know that. They're private organizations. And so this is just, again, I'm just sharing my thoughts of what I've seen over the last few years. What we have seen is we have seen those that have won in the primaries, they're now in the local districts, and so the districts aren't happy with the way that they're voting, and maybe sometimes rightfully so, maybe sometimes they're just vindictive, who knows. But the reality is we're seeing all of these censoring resolutions that come both on the state level and on the district level. And so now you have people that don't even want to be involved at all because it's just a bunch of mudslinging. And I guess that's politics maybe in a nutshell. But, you know, this is where I'm at. I have no real dog in the fight except for I live in the state of North Dakota and I am for conservative values. And to be involved in a process like this is, I believe, it's a responsibility of every citizen to make sure that if you want your values, you know, to proceed forward in our state, you have to get involved. And so, there's a lot of frustration around those who have been involved, but feel like they have, because it maybe we don't have the money or they don't have the ability to circumvent the party process and just put their name on the ballot with a bunch of money. They feel like their voice, even though they are involved, is not being heard. And so I think that's why you're seeing a lot of these censoring motions. And, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I just feel like the system is so broken. And I'll just give you a couple of examples. Last legislative session, I mentioned this to Scott Hennin earlier in our conversation, but, you know, I listened to the debate on the floor about a bill to eliminate the binding, reorganization meeting of your local district of a candidate to the ballot, essentially saying if you go to your reorganization meeting and you get enough people there and you share a good story and you are able to get nominated by your local district, you're automatically placed on the ballot. And so there was a certain group of people that have been involved in this process, but over the last few years, because of the meetings being so disruptive to, in their words, they have now bypassed this process. Well, some of the things that they said, in fact, one of the legislators that stood up and spoke for this motion, they said, the party process, this process used to work, but we have seen in the last couple of years it not working because of the kind of the disruptive nature of what maybe some districts are seeing. And I'm not for any of that disruption. You know, I think, again, a lot of that is fruitless. I think you can be involved in a way that is effective, that gets your point across, but then also just being able to live with the results, you know, not manipulating the bylaws to make it, you know, make whoever is in power stay in power. And but this individual I felt was very out of touch with the way that it sounded. It was like this person had been involved in politics in North Dakota for a long time, and when I heard them say that the process used to work but it's not working anymore, what I heard was, it used to work when there was 10 people in the room and I was getting elected, but now that more people are involved in the process, which I think is what everybody wants, now they're saying the process doesn't work because they're not getting elected. And so they're circumventing it and just going to the primary. They're collecting, a couple hundred signatures as they need. They're going to the primary and they're getting elected. I don't think that's a way to bring these factions, so to speak, together. There has to be some structural change to make this happen. Anyway, that's my experience with the North Dakota Republican Party, and I'm still involved, still want to make my voice heard, however that can happen. But we will shift gears in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to look at some news happening around the nation, state, and the city here in the next 5 o'clock hour. Hope that you'll stay with us. This is Andrew Sutton sitting in for Steve Hallstrom here on The Flag. Invite you to join in 701-271-1100. I hope everyone has a great 4th of July week. Sounds like, as you just heard at the top of the hour, the weather maybe is not going to be the best on the 4th, but we will kind of, I guess, take it as it comes. But thank you for tuning in to the Steve Hallstrom Show. This is Andrew Sletten sitting in for Steve on this last day of June here, 2025, and it is the 5 o'clock hour. And so Addison has informed me that it is the big news of the day. And for all of those listeners that have been waiting for Addison, the great grocery giveaway.
It's a very exciting time.
Very exciting. And so from what I understand with this giveaway is that this individual will have 11 minutes to give us a call here at the studio, 701-271-1100. And that phone line is sponsored by Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness. And they've recently expanded and can get you in fast. They're offering counseling, OT, PT, and a nurse practitioner. So make an appointment and get in this week at valleychristian.com. And so 701-271-1100. Do we have a drum roll or do you do anything like in fancy for the announcement?
I should be more prepared, but I'm not quite.
Okay. So 5 o'clock hour for all of those that have registered. And now this individual that has been selected, the name is, are you ready? John Grindle. John Grindle from Fargo. Now is your cue to call, 701-271-1100. You have 11 minutes. Or if you know a John Grindle, if you are his son, daughter, if you are a wife to John, have John give a call here to the studio, 701-271-1100, to get qualified for the Great Grocery Giveaway. Thank you to the flag for doing that. That's pretty fun.
Help John give a call in, and you just might be rewarded with groceries.
Hey,
John can share.
That's right. Share. That's right. Yeah, just give them the list of what you like. You know, Pop-Tarts, cereal requests, soda. I mean, go down the list. So, yeah, John, give us a call. 701-271-1100. Again, this is Andrew Sletten sitting in for Steve on this Monday afternoon. And I want to shift gears a little bit. I am not really, you know, this whole radio hosting thing is I appreciate the opportunity. I have a lot of fun, but sometimes I have a hard time shifting gears. You know, I just, for me, for some reason, I get stuck in a vein, and that vein in the 4 o'clock hour has been, you know, the North Dakota Republican Party and the process. And I get just stuck in that. I have a hard time shifting to other things, but I do want to cover a couple of articles that you may have missed here if you've been busy on this Monday and haven't been able to keep up with the news. I know Steve always does a great job of covering some of the big news articles of the day. Of course, if you've missed it, the big, beautiful bill, in Trump's words, is right now being debated in the Senate. And once, if it does pass there, I know there's been a lot of different amendments that have been offered, and it has not been through in a final passage form as of yet. But once it does, it will go back to the House. And if it passes the House, of course, then it'll have final passage and get to Trump. The goal was to get it to Trump before the 4th of July. And so that is happening right now. And the screens here at the studio are all talking about this big, beautiful bill. Live shot of the Senate floor. They're debating and voting in on different aspects of the bill. Of course, that would be a game changer for quite a few people. And I would make the argument it would be a game changer for those who are mostly living paycheck to paycheck and more middle income Americans that in a time of inflation and kind of still dealing with a lot of the after effects of inflation, especially no tax on tips and other continuation of the tax credits comes at a needed time. And of course, there's a lot of debate around that. You've probably, if you are engaged, you've probably heard a lot about that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but the big, beautiful bill is the news of the day, hopes to get passed out of the Senate, go over to the House side. Another news article I found fascinating was that the North Dakota Ethics Commission just ruled there was a request from a senator, Josh Boucher, about the way that campaign funds could be used. So, you know, you give to a campaign, you expect those funds to be utilized in a way that is why you gave the money. So the candidate would use it to either, of course, buy radio advertising, TV advertising, social media, whatever they would need it for to get their name in front of as many voters as possible. Well, the North Dakota Ethics Commission just ruled that campaign funds may be used to cover, get this, child care, but also security. You know, in the wake of what happened in Minnesota this last week with the tragic, you know, passing of representative over there, you know, the security, of course, with our legislators have become even more heightened concern. So the Ethics Commission did just rule that campaign funds can be used to cover items, again, like childcare and security. So what's your thoughts on that? I find it fascinating that we are having to have this debate, unfortunately, with local legislators, but unfortunately, that's the world that we live in. You know, the city of Fargo also is facing some pretty severe, and one article I found, some difficult decisions heading into their 2025 budget. You know, the city manager said what we're seeing is that our revenues are not going to produce the dollars that we need to be able to meet our expected expenditures in 2026. And so the city of Fargo is facing some budget shortfalls. That's another thing that, you know, we have been debating in this last legislative session. The caps that is placed on local political subdivisions is becoming real to the city of Fargo right now, and saying that, you know what, we're not going to have the money needed to make our budget. So what does that mean? Either, for one, you know, article states in the forum just today, it stated, well, you know, potential cutting of services and cutting of budgets, but then also raising of fees. And so, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road with some of the legislation that, you know, is being debated in Bismarck. Now it's becoming real to the citizens of Fargo. And it's going to be really interesting to see how we respond to that. And so maybe that's a question I would ask for you, the listener, is, what should the city of Fargo do? Should they cut services? Should they raise fees? And we can talk all day about the bloated kind of nature of budgets, but the reality is we do need services. And so there is some give and some take when it comes to these budgets and how much they can collect, because they're now capped at how much property tax they can collect based on the last legislative session. A couple of other, you know, kind of interesting items over the course of the day, the news cycle. Again, this is the 4th of July weekend, and are you traveling? Are you, Addison, are you sticking around? What's your plans for the 4th of July weekend?
A lot of sleep. I'm not much of a man of action. A lot of sleep.
But you're sticking around. You're not traveling?
Yeah, I'm probably going to stick around. I don't have any plans to travel. I do have family just the other side of Fergus Falls. I may head down there and see the parents on July, but
yeah, just saw an article today that there is a record number of individuals that are anticipated to travel over the 4th of July weekend, whether that's through you know, driving to a destination. But AAA says that there's a record setting 72 million Americans that are expected to travel at least 50 miles from home over the holiday period.
I suppose if I travel, I would just fit into that bracket.
Just over 50 miles.
Yeah, just over.
Yeah, you know, it's a busy time, and obviously travel is one that you know, you got to have expendable income to travel, and I think there's such a uncertainty among many right now among budgets and inflation still. But one of the areas that really seems to not be affected by that is travel. And so, you know, I know the Fargo Airport has seen a record number of boardings over the last couple of months. And so to me, it seems like people are still spending money on travel, and obviously they're okay with that. And AAA would support that, and that there are a record number of people that are planning to travel over the holiday weekend. And so if you're just tuning in, this is Andrew Sletton sitting in for Steve on this Monday, beautiful Monday afternoon. We invite you to join in on the conversation. If you have any thoughts, give us a call, 701-271-1100. We got to get to a quick break. But feel free to shoot us a text, 701-237-1590. 519 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Andrew Sletton sitting in for Steve. And want to talk a little bit about tub-to-shower conversions. And a couple of interesting facts about tub-to-shower conversions is that, according to the CDC, more than 20 million adults a year are injured in the bathroom. And so it's now more than ever important, if you have an aging parent or if yourself are concerned about what a getting in and out of a bathtub looks like, now's your time to give Gina a call over at Style Safe Bath and Shower. They are locally owned, over 1,000 jobs completed since opening in 2010, and they are formerly luxury bath and aging-in-place remodeling. They are the experts in tub-to-shower conversions. They're veteran-friendly with lots of experience working with the VA. I know Gina over at Style Safe. They're a great company. Gina's a great individual, so give them a call today, or check them out at stylesafefargo.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is, again, Andrew Sletten on this Monday afternoon, sitting in for Steve. Steve is off, I believe, this entire week, and so you're stuck with me today and tomorrow. But I think there'll be some other hosts filling in. We're covering a variety of topics and just want to have a conversation with you. Give us a call, 701-271-1100, to share your point of view. But also we had a text come into the text line, 701-237-1590. Thank you to the texter who called in. Andrew, you were lamenting disruption. What is disruptive at convention? In 2022, an establishment was yelling when a patriot had the floor and was trying to speak. In 2024, I saw and heard a number of establishment yelling into the microphone when they had the floor. Is deliberation in your mind disruptive, as this term disruptive seems to be targeted also towards conservatives and not establishment? You know what? I appreciate that text, and maybe I should clarify. I'm not for disruption, no matter who it's coming from, whether it's from those in the, again, in the establishment or those more in the grassroots. I have found that, you know, yelling doesn't get your point across, but, you know, this is what's fascinating about this, and I should probably remember, you know, looking back at some of the political process over the last couple hundred years in our countries, is we're not settling, Addison, we're not settling political disputes with duels anymore, like used to happen.
Thankfully.
So disruption, I guess, is, you know, is definitely relative. You know, this has been my experience, and thank you, Texter, for bringing this up. So we're going to just dive back into this topic. What I have experienced is I have experienced those in the quote-unquote establishment side that, you know, especially at district reorganization, I would say when those things happen, are the bylaws of a district are very important to follow. And, you know, I know that there's some argument about not being able to get bylaws, not being able to know exactly what a district requires of you before you show up at the meeting. And so, you know, the accusations from the grassroots to the conservative have been that they are grassroots to the establishment has been, you know, that they have not allowed as many people involved in the process. And that's the same argument that the, you know, establishment has for the grassroots. And so I find it funny that on both sides, people are kind of saying the same thing and yelling at the other side. But, you know, to the texter's point here, you know, there has been things that I have seen in a local district that has made me scratch my head. One of those things that I have seen is the way that local district bylaws were written. It really did. It didn't make it easy for new people to be involved. And on the grassroots side, to their credit, what I have seen is I have seen the desire for more people to be involved and making it easier for people to come and support a candidate. So to their credit, I have seen that happen. But of course, there's probably those individuals also on the grassroots side that have made it more difficult. And so you can't kind of paint with a broad brush. But what was really upsetting to me is when offices turned over, now all of a sudden what was being done, and I would say a protectionist way, and I actually visited with Scott Hendon off the air a little bit about this, like that protectionism of, you know, we're in power, we're going to stay in power, and using the bylaws to do that. I see that more on the establishment side than I see on the grassroots side. I see the grassroots side really wanting to get more people involved, but then I also see on that side as a whole, so to your point, Texter, as a whole, I have seen more noise, so to speak, coming from that side, which, you know, again, they're the purist kind of side of the party. You need both the purists and you need the pragmatists in the party, which is literally what we have in the state, elected committee right now on the Republican side. And so I think it's good. You have both sides. But that was pretty frustrating to me to see the intentional aspect of way bylaws were written where they made it very power heavy to the executive committee of that district. And we see this in the texter, you know, also, you know, shared this with us. It says also the most sweeping rules change that you and Hennin were lamenting was a state committee meeting with a tremendous number of appointed chairs by establishment Perry Schaefer. That's true. You're right. There was more people added to basically put a finger on the scale for the amount of votes that they could have outside of the elected chairs of each district. And I know this is kind of getting into the weeds with some, but this does impact the candidates that we have on the ballot. So I think it's important that we talk about it. So this texter goes on to say, he says, his people, the establishment, ironically caused the greatest number of rule changes. This included the quote-unquote Becker rule, which caused the most obvious objection and controversy as it was played out in a convention in 2024 during the Becker, Balazs, and Fedorchuk endorsement vote. Yes, thank you, texter, for sharing this. I don't disagree with this, that you know, when we change the rules about who can be on the committee, when we're on the committee, then it just reeks of you know, what some would call establishment, you know, shenanigans. But I would also say on the grassroots side, the same exact thing has happened. Now, you know, what has happened in some other districts. So just a district I'm a part of here in Fargo, there's not a lot of people that show up at the room at the reorg meeting. We wish there were more. We're trying to get more people involved. And that should be the goal, period, is to get more people involved. And if you have any other thoughts, please share it with us. 701-271-1100. Text them in, 701-237-1590. And anything that we can do to get more people involved, I'm for. But at the same time that, you know, we are seeking relevancy, we can also hold on to what is right. So this is the struggle in the party. As I told Scott Hinnon in the 4 o'clock hour, you know, when that individual stood up on the floor of the state convention and said, rightness doesn't matter if you're not relevant, it just struck me. I'm like, no, rightness does matter. And we can talk all day about relevance, yes, but we also need to make sure that what the brand of the party is actually what we're producing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's no way for that to happen right now. There's no way for the state party, for a local district, to hold any of our elected leaders accountable to the party. Now, we can say we can hold them accountable at the ballot box, which is true, but when you have tens of millions of dollars that is at your disposal for a statewide race and some of the biggest names with the deepest pockets in our country behind your campaign, and you are blasting every mailbox and the airwaves and TV waves with a message where to the low information voter, they just see your name, they're going to vote for you because you have an R behind your name, but there's no vetting there. It comes down to, again, money and buying elections, which is really disrupting. If we want to use the word disrupting, it's disrupting the purpose of the party. And that's what I get kind of upset about. I joined the party and I'm involved in a local district to facilitate change, to be able to put the candidate on the ballot that I have vetted, that our district has vetted. Well, if somebody can get on the ballot and not go through that process, that makes a lot of people pretty frustrated. And so actually, to Ben Koppelman's credit, he did put in a bill this last year that would only allow individuals to run as a Republican that actually won the endorsement of their local district. So you know what that would do is it would cause more people to get involved in their local district. They would have to show up at the reorg meeting. And it's on the candidates to make that happen. But right now, what's happened is produced laziness on behalf of the candidates' part. I mean, to go out and get some signatures, you know, I understand, you know, lazy maybe is a strong word, but, you know, you have to go out and get signatures. You have to go out and knock doors. You do that anyway, not the signatures, but the knocking of the doors. But they have, and I have seen this, people have relied on, in a local district, legislative district, there has been districts where over $100,000 has been spent to get people elected. In North Dakota, 15,000 people in a local Republican Democrat district, 15,000 people, over $100,000. I've heard upwards of $150,000 has been spent to get people elected. And so they rely on their ability to get in front of the voter, but not do it in a way where they actually are vetted. And so one of the caller's points, maybe it was Charlie or another caller that called in, you know, they had made the point they want to see a adherence to the principles of the Republican Party, but when you ask, you don't sometimes get an answer because they don't have to give an answer. They can run as a Republican, but they don't have to be accountable to the Republican Party because they can put an R behind their name and not go through any of the local state conventions and still run as a Republican. And it's just broken. The system is broken. So anyway, there's another rant. Thank you to the texter for getting me back on that. So we have a news and weather's break at the bottom of the hour here. We will continue here in the 5 o'clock hour with more conversation either around this or whatever you want to talk about. Give us a call, 701-271-1100, or shoot us some text, 701-237-1590. It is 5:35 here on this Monday afternoon, the last day of June. Welcome to the Steve Hallstrom Show. This is Andrew Sletten, and I will be with you today and tomorrow here filling in for Steve, who is off this week. And appreciate Scott Hannon stopping in the 4 o'clock hour, having a conversation about his article. If you have not read that article in the forum, I invite you to go and read that from last weekend. And he hit on the topic that we've been really debating. If you're just joining us, we've been debating the topic of, is North Dakota and the system of placing candidates on the ballot, is that system broken? And what is really the divide within the Republican Party? Is there a chasm? Is it just something that is, you know, politics and we're having to navigate it and deal with it? It feels like some are saying that there's more of a disruption and just, you know, people aren't going to conventions anymore because they don't feel comfortable. And, you know, I find some of the statements, again, a little bit laughable when it comes to this. I mean, politics has always been uncomfortable. Addison, what are the two things that you're not supposed to talk about at every family gathering? It's
Uncle Dylan and politics.
It's Uncle Dylan and politics. I was going to say religion and politics, but maybe Uncle Dylan would be
three things.
A better topic of conversation. And
the family would argue that.
That's right. Well, you know, we're talking about it today. You know, we're talking about this political chasm that, you know, are we going to be able to address it? Are we going to be able to really work together to try, you know, this? There's a new election in the state Republican Party. The gentleman, his name is Matthew Simon, I believe. And, you know, he has pledged to work together, as Scott mentioned in his article, with all of the factions to try to just propel the conservative movement forward. But there's a lot of challenges to do that. And, you know, I find myself kind of right in the middle of this at times where I don't know, you know, what the future looks like. I just know that being involved is a great way to do it. There has been times where I have become a little disenfranchised with the process because of some of the shenanigans that have happened on all sides. And, you know, to the texter's credit, again, you can text in your comments, 701-237-1590. You know, about the whole establishment and some of the rule changes, you know, the texter, I failed to mention this. You know, you made a point about the number of appointed chairs in when the state of North Dakota, you know, every 10 years we go through redistricting. The state chairman has a lot of authority and power in those moments because they can appoint a district chair. And so I got involved in here in Fargo around that time after redistricting, and I saw some of this kind of happening and transpiring where, you know, I felt like there was just some definite shenanigans happening to keep certain people in power. And again, am I ever going to not see that in the political world? Probably not. But it does to some, it makes them dig their heels in a little bit deeper. And like, you know what? I am going to get involved. And so when people do get involved, we have to accept the outcome. So for instance, how many people do we want at a reorganization meeting at our local district? We want as many people as possible asking the questions that would, for the best of that, for that district, put in the seat in Bismarck somebody that holds to the party platform, that is vetted. That's what we want. Okay, so when that happens, we have to accept the outcome of the election. And so this is what, again, I mentioned this earlier, the some of the things I heard around some of the quote-unquote establishment was, well, the process isn't working anymore. Well, the process isn't working because you're not winning elections. So, I guess going forward, I don't know what the answer is. I do have some suggestions that I've already talked about. I guess, of course, involvement is definitely the key. If people would get involved at all of these levels, if there was more people voting in the local district reorganization meetings, if there's more people voting in our primaries. Our primary election turnout is pitiful. And so we definitely need more engagement. Yes, that is one of the solutions. Second, though, is structural change. And you know, I've talked quite a bit about that. And but you know, another issue is that elected leaders sometimes are not even showing up at these district meetings or even statewide meetings. And how can, except for censoring, how can a district or a state committee hold their feet to the fire? I don't know if there's any way that they can besides that. And I'm not a big fan of censoring. In fact, it's kind of fruitless, and it turns more people away than it brings in. But at the same time, you know, I understand the frustration of, you know what, how can we as a party, they become irrelevant. And so what it becomes is it becomes office to the highest bidder, which I absolutely despise. You know, the more money you have, the more you can get in front of people. And, you know, I was making this point with Scott Hennin. I said, you know, I look at Governor Burgum, who was sitting beside President Trump in the cabinet meeting, and I was just so struck. I'm like, man, he was a distant third place in a North Dakota state convention. He was a distant third place in the debate with Stengem and Becker. And I, you know, living in North Dakota, I didn't even know his name. Well, here he is, what is it, 10 years later, serving in the cabinet of President Trump. And, man, what a rise to power, so to speak. But what got him there? Well, I would say it this way. It was the Republican Party, but he rode the Republican Party to those offices. And to his credit, he had the ability to do that. But he also had a bunch of money to help him with that. And so whether you love him or hate him, like, he just did what he could do. But let's just say this. I'll ask the question. If Governor Burgum did not have an R behind his name here in North Dakota, would he have been elected when he's running against Wayne Stengem, if he was running against Rick Becker in a primary? You know, I don't think Becker ran in the primary. I think it was just Stengem and Governor Burgum. If Governor Burgum would have had the ability to have an R behind his name, I would venture to guess that he would not have been elected. But because he was and did have the ability to have an R behind his name, he was. And so this is the structural change that I'm speaking to, that if everybody's a Republican, nobody's a Republican. And, you know, I don't have big issues with Governor Burgum. I do have a few, but that's with any elected leader, I guess. So I don't know what the answer is, but I just definitely feel like the system, again, is broken. So share your thoughts, 701-237-1590. I know I've been talking about that all afternoon. It's again, my one-track mind. I can't really get into any other topics, although I want to. Want to ask the question also, you know, shifting gears to the listeners today. One of the questions is, do you feel that we, as the United States of America, do you feel like we are on the edge of another great awakening? I think there is a lot of talk. In fact, I heard Scott talking about this a few months ago, asking almost a very similar question. It feels like there's a time over the last couple of years, there's been this stirring among Americans where in times of pretty extreme division and crisis, there has been in the history of our nation times when revivals have impacted who we are as a nation. And I feel, you know, I'm a pastor here in town. I definitely have felt over the last couple of years this to be true, is that we're right on the edge or verge of another great awakening in our country. Think about this. I saw this in a commentary I was reading the other day, and it said in the second great awakening, which if you look at the years about 1790 to the early 1800s, about 1840 was the time period of the second great awakening. In that time frame, in our country, over a third of the country was in revival camp meetings, ushering in great revivals. And when I saw that, I was just blown away at the sheer number. Over a third of the country was in these revival meetings. And so the Second Great Awakening gave us the nation that we have now, and we have drifted so far from a righteous nation, biblical worldviews and values, that, you know, as the pendulum swings and tends to do that, what I believe is we're seeing the pendulum begin to swing back into this time where I feel we're on the edge of a great awakening. And I'm going to share of an event coming up in October that I'm blessed to be a part of here in the community of Fargo that is centered around awakening. I do believe that there is a hunger for spiritual awakening in our country, and blessed to just know a bunch of people that also agree with that statement, and they have put their money, so to speak, where their mouth is. We're going to be putting on an event here in October geared to the community for another great awakening. So we have to get to our last break. On the other side of the break, I'm going to share some details about that. And also taking texts and calls, whatever you have on your mind, give us a call, 701-271-1100. Shoot us a text at 701-237-1590. Welcome to the last segment here on this Monday afternoon of the Steve Hallstrom Show. Andrew Sletton sitting in today, and been discussing primarily the big issue of how individuals are placed on the ballot here in North Dakota politics. And, you know, I'm just obviously in the Flag Studio here on Thunder Road, beautiful South Fargo. And, you know, even on the Fox News screen in front of me right now, the ticker at the bottom is just the debate is about party divisions. So on a national level, statewide level, local district level, we're seeing this. And so it's a debate that needs to be had. And we tried to talk a little bit about it today. Hopefully I was able to articulate exactly what I feel about it. It's a system that I just feel is super broken. And maybe it can be resolved, maybe not. I don't know. You know, one of the things, article I found, Gallup poll just came out recently, and it was talking about how as a whole, Americans have they're struggling with well, what they would call the Gallup people would call American pride. It says American pride slips to a new low, according to Gallup poll. And so what happened was they ran here in June a ballot and not a ballot. They ran a survey and came back with some of the results of the survey, and basically just asking the question of, do you appreciate what's happening in our country? Are you proud of the United States of America? And the Democrats, Republicans, and independents were all asked the same question. And it's really fascinating, the report that came back from Gallup poll. You can find this online. I encourage you to go check it out, because certain, like, independents and Democrats and Republicans, that level of some have stayed very consistent. But the Democrats, it's really, depending on the election, can like swing dramatically. If yes, I'm very proud of my country, or no, I'm very upset at what's happening. And so as a whole, American pride has slipped to a new low, mainly because Democrats have skewed that to a new low. And, you know, 36% saying that they are extremely dissatisfied and not proud of our country. That's down 62% from a year ago. And of course, we know that's due to the election, but you know, even you look at the Republican numbers right now, you know, typically it registers above 90%. It includes 92% this year. But in the previous year, before the election, it was at 85%. You don't see these dramatic swings in the Republican side, which speaks, I think, to more consistency of, you know what, no matter who is in office, we're still going to push for values. But I bring this up because a lot of people are always asking the question of, what can I do to get involved, and how can I facilitate change? I mean, I've talked a lot about that on a political level today, but really my heartbeat is not just in the political world. I think, of course, a political world is downstream of culture, and so we want to facilitate change in the culture itself. And so before the break, I'd asked the question of, do you think or do you believe that we're on the edge or verge of another great awakening? I think we are, and the reason why I think we are is over the last couple of years, I've had more conversation with people about just biblical truths and values than I have before, and it's invigorating to me because I do hold a biblical worldview. I believe that, you know, we are created on purpose and for purpose. I believe in the truths of Scripture, and I've tried my best to live those out, and of course, not saying I have done that exactly right my entire life, but I know that it's true, and I try to live it out to the best of my ability. And I have had more conversations around that in the last few years because of, I believe, some of the chaos and craziness of our nation. And so because of that, there in October of this year, I invite you to put this date on your calendar, October 26, coming up this year. It's a Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. there will be a meeting just simply called Awakening, and it will be held at the Delta Hotel here in town. And it's being put on by just a bunch of individuals who are desiring to see those who are just spiritually hungry for a revival in this country to all come together of people of like mind and spiritual hunger and just really have an encounter with the Spirit of the Lord to facilitate the revival of righteousness that many of us have been praying for and asking for, and some are being being involved in a political way to do that. Some are involved in writing books and podcasts and changing the culture. And, you know, of course, it all starts in the home and our family, leading our families in righteousness. These are all of the kind of things that I've seen over the last few years that have led up to this awakening meeting where like-minded people and truth-loving people are going to be gathering that Sunday, October 26th at the Delta Hotel here in town. And you can find more information at awakeningfargo.com. All of the details are there at awakeningfargo.com. Invite you to go and check it out and be a part of that meeting coming up in October. You know, one of the stories that I have read is a book called Democracy in America. There's a writer, his name was Alexis de Tocqueville, and he was from France. He had come over to the United States of America and really had come with a purpose to know what made America great. And so he describes and wrote an entire book called Democracy in America, again, about it. But, you know, he made this statement that has forever kind of changed the way that I view American culture. He said, "I came to America to see what made America great, and I saw all the vast resources. I saw the natural, you know, the abundance of natural resources from the mountains to the plains." And he said it wasn't any of those natural resources that made America great. He said this, he made this statement, "It wasn't until I went into the church houses of America that I realized what made America great." And he talks about the fiery preaching of righteousness that was in the church houses. And this was during the Second Great Awakening. And so he made this statement. Hear this. He said, "If America ever ceases to be good, it will cease to be great." And when I read that, and I had, of course, heard about it over the years, his book, but when I studied out what he saw when he came to America in that Second Great Awakening, my spirit was stirred. I do believe that we as a community, as a state, as a nation, are kind of right on that edge, again, of another Great Awakening. And so we need a revival of righteousness. We need a hunger for revival of truth again in our region, in our families first, and then our communities and churches. And so that's the sales pitch for Awakening. Man, I'm so excited about this meeting coming up in October. Please, I invite you to come be a part of it, because I know there's a lot of freedom-loving people in the Flag listenership audience. That you guys love freedom, but you also love the Lord. You love biblical truth and values, knowing that without truth and without morality, without righteousness, that a free people cannot exist. We need to be moored into the morality of Scripture. And so that's my invitation for each and every one of you to join us at the Awakening meeting coming up in October of this year. And again, big thank you to Steve for allowing me to sit in today. And I'll be with you tomorrow. A couple of guests that will be on the show tomorrow is we're going to have Mark Wallace, individual that is working with the Faith Forward movement here in town. It's an incredible organization. We're going to have a conversation about that also coming up, I believe, in October of this year. There's a Faith Forward conference, so Mark will be with us tomorrow to discuss that. And also DJ Coulter, our friend DJ, will be with me tomorrow answering your questions about some of the storm damage that has happened here in our region. And from insurance agent's perspective, he's going to share some thoughts and tips and ideas about what we should look for, and then about the claim process. And so looking forward to conversation with DJ tomorrow. So thank you so much for tuning in to the Steve Hallstrom Show. This has been Andrew Slutton sitting in for Steve this afternoon. I will see you tomorrow. God bless.